Let us turn in our Bibles now to Matthew chapter 2. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son." The only thing constant in this world is change. Change. One of the reasons I mentioned that is because words change their meanings over time, and with use, words have different meanings. And the word Christmas is one of those words. We know what it meant in the beginning, but now it has come to refer to the birth of Christ. This passage, which we've just read here in Matthew, has also come to be part of the Christmas story. That is, in the minds of many. Many think that these wise men arrived the night that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. They think that the star was over the stable where the babe was lying in a manger. And we see that many Christmas cards. Now, I know that those of us here in this room today, we know that is not true. We know better. But if you look in verse 11 that we read just a few minutes ago, the wise men, we are told, saw the young child. The shepherds who went to see him the night he was born, the scripture in Luke 2:16 says, they saw the babe lying in a manger. Two different words altogether, child and babe. Now, I've said all that to say this. This is my Christmas message. It does speak of the birth of Christ, but not just the night that he was born. This passage here in Matthew chapter 2. And I have three thoughts that I want to focus on this morning. I pray that God the Holy Spirit will bless each one of these subjects and use them for his glory and for the good of God's people. There are around three Old Testament prophecies. And all of these prophecies, these three prophecies, come from the minor prophets. The first is, the desire of all nations shall come. Now this prophecy, and we sang about that just a few minutes ago. I don't know if you noticed that. Seek ye the desire of all nations. That prophecy was given in the book of Haggai, chapter 2 and verse 7. And I see that here because these wise men were not of the nation of Israel. These wise men who came, they were not part of the nation of Israel. They were Gentiles. They were not natural descendants of Abraham. When Christ was born, when he came into this world, the religious leaders of Israel, and for the most part, most of the people, they believed that just to be born a Jew, just to be born a natural descendant of Abraham, and to have the sign of circumcision, that meant that a person was saved. That's just the way they were taught. That's what they believed, that if you were born a Jew, that automatically meant that you were what we would call today a child of God. They had little use for the Gentiles, the Jews did. They referred to the Gentiles as dogs. The Lord met the woman of Samaria at the well, and she was surprised. She was surprised that Jesus would even speak to her. She asked, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, ask of me, a Samaritan, a drink of water?" She was surprised that Jesus would even speak to her. And John tells us there that the reason is the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. They had to deal with Gentiles commercially, but if they had had their rathers, they would have never talked or sat down or spoken with a Gentile. They just would never have done that because they had been taught. Not everyone, because we know from Luke chapter 2, that older man by the name of Simeon, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. That is, he who would comfort the people of God, the consolation of Israel. And then that lady, Anna, was in the temple there, and she saw what took place with Simeon, with Christ, when he took him up in his arms, and he said, "Now mine eyes have seen thy salvation." The Bible tells us that she began to speak to everyone in Jerusalem who looked for redemption. In other words, there were many, no doubt, in the nation of Israel, physical, natural descendants of Abraham, who did know that the Messiah, the Christ, would be one who would come to save his people from their sins. But for the most part, it's, in my opinion, it's much like today. It's much like the society in which we are living. If you're just a person, you're just born, you're here on God's earth, most likely you're going to go to heaven. When you die, you're going to go to a better place. That's the general thinking of most people today. This whole idea of sin and men being born sinners and needing to be reconciled to God in order to enjoy God's presence in eternity forever. That's pretty much a thing of the past as far as the way people think in our country. Much like the Jews thought, just to be born a Jew, that's sufficient. But the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, said that's not it. It's not that first birth that's all important. Doesn't matter if you're born a Jew or Gentile. That's not the first point that's so important, that first birth. But it is rather that new birth, that birth which comes from above. A man must be born from above by the Spirit of the living God if he is to see the kingdom of God, if he is to understand the things of God. These men who came, and they came seeking him who was born the King of the Jews. Now they went to Jerusalem. They saw the star, and they went to Jerusalem. They traveled to Jerusalem, thinking, no doubt, that was the capital of Israel, Judea. That's the place of the great king. That's where David had reigned. They were thinking maybe they'd find him there, but of course he wasn't born in Jerusalem. Herod was the king, and Herod was a wicked man. He was an evil man, a very wicked man. And so they asked Herod, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" Now Herod, he knew that the way to find out was to look into the scriptures. And so he asked the scribes and the Pharisees, verse 4 we read, "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." It's interesting that the wise men asked, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" But when Herod went to the religious leaders, he asked the question, "Where is he that is born Christ, the Christ of God?" These were Gentiles. I want you to look back with me to Isaiah chapter 49 just a minute. What I see in these wise men coming, seeking the King of the Jews, is the first fruits of what had been promised in the Old Testament. And we see that especially here in this passage in Isaiah 49. "Listen, O owls, unto me." Now the Jews, this word "owls," that was a term that they used for Gentiles, because anything that was over the sea, across the ocean, they looked upon as owls. And so, "You Gentiles, listen and hearken, you people from far." They were far from the tabernacle. They were far from the temple. And they were, like all men, when we come into this world, far from God. Far. "The Lord hath called me from the womb." This is the Lord Jesus Christ. "He hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." Remember, the angel told Joseph, "You shall call his name Jesus." This one that Mary's going to give birth to, he was named by God from the womb. This is what this verse is telling us. "He called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword." That is, the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. "In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, like an arrow with its point." The words of the Lord Jesus Christ, when he speaks to his people, when he comes in conviction, The Word of God comes in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Men are pricked in their hearts. That's what they said on the day of Pentecost, wasn't it? They were pricked in their hearts and they cried out, "What must we do? What must we do?" And said unto me, that is the Lord God said unto Christ, "Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Christ is the one who glorified his Father by finishing the work which he gave him to do, by his perfect obedience all throughout his life, by his death on the cross as a sacrifice for his people. Then I said, now this is Christ, "I have labored in vain." Now he's not saying that his labor on the cross was in vain. We know the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 53, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied." But what this refers to is his ministry among the Jews for the three and a half years from his baptism until his crucifixion, his ministry among the Jews, and he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what the Word of God tells us. "I have spent my strength for naught and in vain." On the day of Pentecost, how many people were gathered in that upper room after 3 years of ministry? How many people were gathered in that upper room? 120. "I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God." He had accomplished. He had done what the Father had given him to do. "And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him," that is the elect among the Israelites, "though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." And he said, "It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel." Now notice this. I will give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. These wise men I see as the first fruit of the accomplishment of the promise that God the Father had given his Son, that he would be a light to the Gentiles, that God's people would be called out of every nation, every tongue, every people. Now, if you look back to our text here in Matthew, they said, "We have seen his star." You see that? "We have seen his star." Every star they ever saw was his star. Right? Every star that you've ever seen. The sun, the moon, the heavens, the earth, they're all his. He created all things, and for his glory, all things are made. But no doubt this was a special light, maybe some suggest a comet or a meteor, I'm not sure about that, but it was something different. But it was a great light. One time years ago, in Yucatan, Mexico, I was coming back from a service where I'd preached, and it was late at night, and all of a sudden I saw to my left, I was driving, a light. Where I was out in the boondocks, I mean in the country, there was no lights out there. And I saw a light, and it got brighter and brighter and brighter, and then it lit up the whole sky, and then it was gone. The next day I read in the paper that it had been part of a meteor that had fallen, and they gave the location where it had come down. I'm not sure what this light, this star was that they saw, but it was a great light. And it was enough for them to buy a ticket on Southwest Airlines and fly to Jerusalem. No, no. It was enough for them to get their camels, I assume, and their gifts, and to start out on a hard, long journey. Now, my second point in prophecy is from this prophecy that's given here in our text, from verse 6. And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people. This prophecy comes from Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. When they asked, where is the king born of the Jews? And Herod asked the priest where Christ should be born. We know that Christ means anointed Messiah. And he came into this world as a mediator between God and men. And he is the anointed prophet of God, priest of God, and yes, the king. As the anointed prophet of God, you know, a prophet, his work is to come from God to the people with a message. In Hebrews chapter 1, we are told that God hath in these last days spoken unto us in his Son. He is the prophet of God. And then he is a priest. He was not born of the tribe of Levi, so he could not have entered into the priesthood under the law of Moses, the law that was given at Sinai. He's of the tribe of Judah, the kingly tribe. David is his father. How did he become a priest? With an oath. God has sworn, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. And he's anointed the king that God said in Psalm 2, I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. He is that King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, I want to point this out to us. It was a strange occurrence, seeing this light, this star. That was a phenomenon, a strange occurrence that prompted them to take their journey to seek him. But notice, they did not find him apart from the Word of God. Apart from the written Word of God. When Herod asked the chief priests, where did they go to find out where the Christ would be born? They went to the written Word of God. You know, things happen. Providences happen in our lives. And providences happen in the lives of our friends. A sudden death, a sickness. And I always try to pray that God would use that. I'm talking about in the life of someone who's not saved. I ask the Lord to use that in their life, that somehow cause them to seek the Lord. But I know this, it's not some providence that will ever bring anyone to Christ. It is the written Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's the reason we continue to preach the Word of God. Do you have a marginal reading in your Bible? If you will, look there at verse 6 in the latter part of that verse. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule. If you have a marginal reading, you realize the word is feed in the margin. That shall feed my people. I think of that chapter in the book of Ezekiel where God speaks about the shepherds, the kings, who had misused the flocks, had fleeced the flocks, but misused them altogether. But God promises his shepherd, who shall feed his flock. This is him, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to feed His sheep, and the food that He furnishes is His own body, His flesh and His blood. He was born in Bethlehem, and isn't it interesting that the word Bethlehem means house of bread? He who is the bread of life was born in the house of bread. Now, Bethlehem, from what I've read, is 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, for many of us, that might be a long walk. But for the people of that day, walking seven miles wasn't all that great a journey. But you notice that none of the priests, they told where the Messiah would be born, the Christ would be born in Jerusalem, but they didn't go. They didn't go to seek this out. Herod, as wicked and evil as he was, and it was nothing for him, he killed even some of his own household, his sons. He was a wicked man, and yet he does not send his soldiers to follow these men and destroy the babe who he would see as a rival king. I see two truths in this. As to Herod not sending his soldiers to kill the babe, doesn't this illustrate the proverb, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will." You know, these men and women who are in places of authority, put over us in places of authority that we are to honor, that we are to pray for. Let's never forget that their heart is in the hand of the King, and He turns it whithersoever He will. Maybe that is an illustration as to why Herod did not pursue this. And as far as the chief priest not going to Bethlehem, the scripture in John 1 says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. The wise men here, they will rise up in judgment, no doubt, and condemn that wicked and evil and unbelieving generation who showed their complete lack of interest in the birth of the Lord Christ. Notice something else here in this text. In verse 9, we read, "The wise men departed. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star went before them." Doesn't that show us their faith? They didn't wait for the star to reappear before they departed. No, they departed, and then the star appeared. This reminds me of those lepers. I want you to look in Luke chapter 17. Reminded me of these lepers, 10 lepers. When our Lord came into this city of Samaria, we read in Luke chapter 17 and verse 12, "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." That was, the law commanded them to stand afar off from someone who did not have leprosy. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" You ever seek mercy? Have you ever sought mercy? He's plentiful in mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. Grace, of course, is God giving us what we don't deserve. These men cried out for mercy. They didn't deserve this healing. But they said, "Master," and He is the Master. He's the Master of all things. He's your Master. He's my Master. You say, "Well, I don't acknowledge Him as my Master." It makes no difference. He is your master. He is the ruler, the King of kings, over all men and over all of His creation. Master, they cried out, have mercy on us. And when He saw them, He said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, now notice that as they went, they were cleansed. They were not cleansed, and then they went to the priest to follow the law. No, as they went, they were cleansed. And this is always God's way. Believe and live. Believe and be saved. Now men, lost men always get this reversed somehow or other, and they complain, well, I asked the Lord, but He didn't save me. No. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. These men, they departed and then they saw the star. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you have everlasting life. You say, well, I want to feel something. I want to know that I have everlasting. No, believe, trust in Him. These men went seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord, the scripture says. They that seek shall find. They that knock, it shall be opened unto them. They that ask, it will be given unto them. Believe the word of God. Notice something else here. When the wise men saw the star, it reappeared. When they saw the star, verse 10 says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Great joy, just as soon as they saw the star. But notice in the next verse, when they saw the sun. When they saw the sun, verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. What was their reaction now? They fell down and worshiped Him. When men see the King, when men see the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, that's always going to happen. Men fall down. And Paul did. Saul of Tarsus did. When he saw the Lord in glory, he ended up in the dirt. He fell down. And he worshiped, Lord, who art thou, Lord? They saw the sun. They saw the star. They rejoiced. They saw the Son of God and they fell down and worshiped. Have you seen Him? Have you? With the eye of faith. Now what? And I want you to notice something else here before I move to that last point. They gave themselves first. And then they gave their gifts. In other words, they worshiped first, and then they gave their three gifts. Salvation is not bought. It's not earned. It's received. It's the gift of God. And it's important that men see this, like the Paul commended the believers in the church at Philippi. They first gave themselves unto the Lord. Or they first gave themselves unto us. And then they gave their gift. These men, they worshiped the Lord. Now some people see some signification in these three gifts. And there may be, I'm not sure. I know the scriptures do not tell us that. But what I see is these three gifts were sufficient to maintain Joseph and Mary and the young child for the time they spent or their journey to Egypt and the time they spent in Egypt. Because the text seems to indicate that very night Joseph packed up and left. That very night in which the angel in that dream told him to take the young child and his mother and go to Egypt. Now the last point I want to make, and very briefly, verse 15 tells us that this fulfilled a prophecy, out of Egypt have I called my son. This prophecy is found in the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 1 that says, I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. The nation of Israel was a type of spiritual Israel. And God called them out of Egypt. And he called his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as we see here, out of Egypt. Matthew Henry made this comment. He said, it is no new thing for God's sons to be in Egypt, in a strange land, in a house of bondage. But they all shall be fetched out. They may be hid in Egypt, but they shall not be left there. All the elect of God, being by nature the children of wrath, are born in spiritual Egypt, and in conversion are effectually called out. Have you been called out? Have you been called out effectually? I know you've been called through the preaching of the gospel, but have you been called by the Spirit of God out of Egypt, out of the world, to be a follower, a believer in Christ? If you still have your Bible open here to Matthew chapter 2, I want you to look back to one verse in chapter 21. And she, that is the angel speaking to Joseph, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now, do you notice that every letter is capitalized? That is Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior. For he shall save his people from their sins. Here are two marks of those who've been called out. Number one, his people have sin. He shall save his people from their sins. Oh, I don't have any sins. Well, his people do. His people do. And God, the Holy Spirit, convicts his people of our sinful condition. And the second thing, those that he calls out, they call him Lord, Jesus. They don't refer to him like the world uses that name, Jesus. No, he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if someone here this morning that God would call out, would reveal Christ to you and your need of him, and then Christ as that only Savior who can help you, who can save you, and will save you. Not only can, but will save you. I love that, don't you? He's not only the able Savior, he's a willing Savior. He's willing. Are you? His people shall be willing in the day of his power. We're going to sing another hymn before we are dismissed.